we go now to the corporate confession of the faith, we first begin with our catechism and a very specific question. I will ask the question and we will recite it together. Question 7 of the Baptist Catechism asks, "What is God?" The answer, "God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth." We are returning to Baptist Catechism 7 today because it's such an important question and the answer is very rich. The question is, what is God? And I should briefly remind you of what I said last Sunday. This is a question about the nature of God. What is he? That is the question. What is he? We will come to talk about who he is and consider the persons of the triune God later. Here we are asking what he is. And in the previous sermon, we focused our attention on the first 4 words of the answer. God is a spirit. He is not a physical being. He is invisible. He does not have a body. He is not composed of parts. He is, we may say, simple. Today we're going to go a little further in this answer. Our catechism goes on to speak about God's attributes. A better term would be perfections. With God, his attributes are perfections. God does not simply love. He is not loving. God is love. God is not wise. He does not have some wisdom. God is wisdom. God is power, etc. And the words infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in our catechism answer help us to see that all of God's attributes are, in fact, perfections in him. The word infinite helps us to see that God is without limits of any kind. When we say that something is finite, we mean that it is limited. You and I are finite creatures. We are very finite creatures, in fact. But God is infinite. He is without limits. The word eternal is about time. When we say that God is eternal, we mean that he is without time. There is no succession of moments in God. He does not have a past or a future. God simply is. The word unchangeable reminds us that God cannot change. So there are some things that God cannot do. He is in no way limited in power or wisdom, etc., but he is limited by his own perfections. He cannot be less than God. He cannot contradict himself. God cannot change. If God were to change for the better, if he were to grow in knowledge, for example, it would mean that he was less than God before. If he were to change for the worse, if his almighty power, for example, were to diminish, then he would cease to be God Almighty. There is no room for change in God because he is infinitely and eternally perfect in every way. I should probably acknowledge here that I am touching on profound truths and I'm doing so very rapidly this morning. We could spend a very long time talking about all of these marvelous truths. Here I am simply introducing you to them. So these 3 words, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, are very important. They help us to see that all of God's attributes are in him actually perfections. And each of these 3 words are to be carried along with us and applied to the 7 perfections of God that are mentioned in our catechism. God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being. God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his wisdom. God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his power, etc., etc. The 7 perfections mentioned in our catechism are God's being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth, and he is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in all of these. I think the first 3 perfections mentioned should be grouped. We might call them essential perfections of God. These belong to God essentially. They are his being, wisdom, and power. The last three also seem to go together. We might call these the relative perfections of God. Why? Because we cannot conceive of them apart from the existence of a creature to whom God relates. They are His justice, goodness, and truth. God is just, good, and true to His creatures. And so we refer to these perfections as relative. He relates to His creatures, and He relates to them in this way. He is just. He is good. He is true. I do believe that God's holiness is mentioned right in the middle of this list for good reason. God is perfect. He is pure, and He is holy in His essence, and therefore He is always perfect, pure, and holy in His relations toward us. Stated differently, God always does what is just, good, and true because He is perfectly holy in His being, wisdom, and power. You should know that under these seven perfections, many other perfections could be listed. Also, I should mention that there is a danger in discussing the attributes or perfections of God like this. It can give the impression that God is composed of many parts, that He is a collection of His many wonderful attributes or perfections. But no, we must insist that God is simple. Everything in God is God, it has been said, and that is true. For example, we may say that God's love is His justice. In Him, they are not really distinguished. But we must divide God up like this and talk about Him. We must talk about His perfections one at a time because we are limited in our capacity. We can only think about one perfection of God at a time. And dear brothers and sisters, as we are talking about God and the whatness of God, we must say that there is a sense in which God is incomprehensible to us. We can know Him truly. These things that we are saying about Him are true things revealed in His holy word. But our finite minds cannot comprehend the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable One. Our language strains under the weight of the task as we attempt to speak of Him. Can you feel it? These words we are using are very grand. And indeed, as we say these things, we know these are true things, but it is hard for us, indeed impossible for us to fully grasp. So let us proceed with caution as we consider the seven perfections of God that our catechism lists. And today, we will only consider the first three. Firstly, our catechism teaches that God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being or existence. It is under the category of God's being or existence that we could talk about His aseity or His self-existence. God exists ase, which means of Himself. God depends upon no one and nothing for His existence. No one made God. No one sustains God. God exists of Himself. That is why He revealed Himself to Moses as I am. God is the one being who simply is. I think you could see that God is a being and you and I are beings. God exists and we exist, but we are very different beings. Our existences are of a different kind. God exists a se, that is, of Himself. And though I hate to break it to you, friends, you and I do not exist a se of ourselves. We are very dependent and needy creatures. And I don't want to make you too uncomfortable, but the truth is this. We are very dependent and needy creatures. You were brought into this world by parents and through a mother. You were nurtured while a helpless babe. You cannot exist apart from this world that surrounds us. You need air. You need food. You need water and shelter. It would be very difficult for you to exist apart from society. Ultimately, it is God who created you and sustains you continuously. The scriptures are true. In God we live and move and have our being, for we are indeed His offspring. But God is ase. He is self-existent. It is under the category of God's being or existence that we could talk about his omnipresence. God is infinite in his existence. He is in all places at all times. And this is why the psalmist said, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." Psalm 139:7-8. Again, we may stress the great difference between God's existence and ours. We exist, but we are finite. We are limited by our bodies. We can only be in one place at one time. And even if we were to consider the soul of man, though it is hard to put into words, I am confident that our souls are limited too. Our souls, when separated from our bodies at death, do not become infinite and omnipresent. It is under the category of God's being or existence that we could also talk about his eternality. God exists. He always has and always will. And as has been said, there is no succession of moments in God. He does not have a past or a future. He simply is. And this is why the prophet has said, "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One?" Habakkuk 1:12. It is under the category of God's being or existence that we should also talk about his immutability. It is not merely that God does not change. He cannot. You and I change constantly. That is because we are finite creatures living in time and space. God cannot change. As James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Secondly, God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his wisdom. I'm not going to spend so much time on this perfection or the next. I think what has been said already in this sermon will enable you to think about these two perfections as well, and the rest of them that follow. It is under the category of God's infinite, eternal, and unchangeable wisdom that we may speak of his omniscience. God is perfectly wise because he knows all things. He knows himself perfectly. He sees everything with perfect clarity. The future is as clear to him as the present and the past. And he knows the future, not because he has the ability to see the future, but because he has decreed it. And he exists outside of time, as we have said. I want you to think of it, brothers and sisters, friends. God has never learned anything. God has never learned anything. No, his wisdom is perfect. It is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. Isaiah 46:10 says that God declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose." Psalm 147:5 says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure." In Psalm 139:1-6, King David reflects on God's omniscience, the fact that he is all-knowing. And he says, "O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me." And then David says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." Thirdly, God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his power. Here we may speak of God's omnipotence. God's power is unlimited. This is true in eternity. Never has God grown stronger or weaker. God speaks in Jeremiah 32:27, saying, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" he asks. And the answer, of course, that we are to give is no. There is nothing that is too hard for our God. We will continue our consideration of the perfections of God next Sunday. May I suggest to you, by way of conclusion, that these perfections of God ought to be of great comfort to those in Christ Jesus. If you have faith in Christ Jesus, God has set his love on you. He has determined to do so in eternity, and he cannot change. He is perfect in his love. He is perfect in his wisdom. He is perfect in his power. He will surely accomplish all of his purposes. Our God is great. And if we are in Christ Jesus, if he has set his love upon you in Christ Jesus, this should be of great comfort to us. Our Father is what we are invited to call him in prayer. What a wonderful name that is. Our Father loves us, and our Father in heaven is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. One of the thoughts that came to my mind while writing this catechetical sermon was that, well, I'm glad we're doing it, because it will, among other things, help us to confess the faith using the Apostles' Creed with more confidence. We will do so in just a moment, but may I remind you that the very first words of the Creed are, "I believe in God." Well, what is God? Who is he? Our catechism helps us to see